Yo-po. Do-do-do-do-do, yo-po. Do-do-do-do-do, yo-po. Do-do-do-do-do, yo-po. Do-do-do-do-do, yo-po.
You Only Podcast Once with Jevin Daly and Sarah Joey.
Phenomena. Holy. We are live here. We are live. Sarah Joey is choking down some different coffee today.
Different coffee. Yep. Oh, yeah. That's an important aspect that we definitely need to mention.
It is. But the most important aspect that we need to mention today is, hey, Yo-Poers.
We back.
And we are back with the support of our new
partner.
Burke's Pharmacy, where the CBD flows.
Man, it's busy up here this morning, huh?
Yeah, we're actually up here in the top level of the Corner Perk, which is sometimes known as Dein Roasting Room.
Isn't it always the roasting room?
It's not.
Up here?
No.
It's only when music's played here?
Correct.
Okay, I didn't know that.
The roasting room is actually... Jordan Ross told me that the roasting room can be anywhere. This is Roasting Room Productions.
So the Roasting Room is the tallest building in all of Bluffton. That's not true, but I like to say that. It is perched above Old Town, which I like.
It
is. It's a great place to view local parades. If you have a chance to come to Bluffton and you don't already live here, definitely check out Corner Perk and the Roasting Room. It's a cool venue for sure to see a show. And also,
that's right,
a great place to grab a coffee and some delicious avocado toast with some friends. I actually have a Valentine's Day date with my boss and one of our partners for the upcoming home show here in Bluffton.
Oh, I thought you were saying
next Friday.
I thought you were saying you had a Valentine's Day date for my show at the Roasting Room on Valentine's Day.
No, actually, I am a kind friend since I'm the single lady. And I offered to watch my friend's kid for them so they could go out on Valentine's Day. Not to your show.
I don't know. Right. I mean, I think my show coming up here, I am on the Wall of Fame at the Roasting Room. I don't want to brag. You told me to brag a little bit though.
No, I told you to promote your show. Oh. There's a difference.
I'm better at braggadocio.
Yeah.
But I do have a show coming up, guys, and for some of you who haven't been to my show, my solo show called Just Jevin, or Jevinology, or Just Say Jevin, it's going to be cool. You can dress however you want. You can dress up, you can dress down, you can dress sideways, and free masks will be given at the door. Enough said.
But also, we're encouraging creativity always, so if you want to make your own mask, that would be really cool.
You can go to Hobby Lobby or Michael's or...
Like, I'm thinking, like, lots of bedazzling.
Yeah. That's what I want to do to mine.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna...
You could make it a shark mask.
Oh.
That'd be so cute.
Oh, are you talking about... Sharks are our homies.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Sharks are our homies. What if a shark rolled up to my show in an Impala 64,
okay,
listening to Gin and Juice?
I mean, I would love that.
That's my homie.
Okay. Is it going to be lifted or like the ones that bounce?
Hydraulics,
yeah. Do people do that still?
Heck yeah, man. L.A., when we go out there to do the podcast tour.
When we have our podcast tour in L.A.
Never know.
We're going to be too hot to handle for them, I think. Our wholesome family podcast.
We need to get, we need to both get Yo-Po back tattoos and calligraphy.
Ooh, no, stomach.
Oh, yeah, right.
In like the old old English font.
Yeah. Whoa.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
We're on the same page on that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be cool. And
do you think Gnarly Gav would give them to us?
Gnarly Gav, the tattooer, is an interesting guy. Because sometimes.
The tattooist. The tattooine.
Tattooer.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not Tattooist?
It's not. This is the one time when where I'm going to be right.
Okay.
Talking linguistics.
Go for it, chum.
Chum? Is that a shark joke?
Sure. It is now.
Okay. Our fact checker, Zach Stevens, is here to check to Google. Google works great up here. They have great coffee, great friends, and great Wi-Fi. Yeah, and the view here is really nice. We're celebrating Winter Storm Cade this morning, came through, and actually some people got some hail. Did you hear?
Oh, I did not. I slept. You know what? I slept right through that. Slept right through it.
I was awake. And it was beautiful outside. There was some lightning. Oh, there's a cat crossing the road. But Old Town Bluffton really is, it's raining outside now. Old Town Bluffton really has come a long way.
Certainly.
But then sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I don't mean that in a dark way.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the ominous looking clouds are kind of affecting my...
As long as they don't change the landscape of the May River here in Bluffton, I'm pretty okay with throwing up. Maybe just one Walmart is good, but...
What if we had two Walmarts?
I mean, there's another one that's pretty close to the first one. Well, and then another one that's pretty close, too.
Like, what if you left Hilton Head and you bought all your rubber gloves and stuff that you needed to do that cleanup, and then you decided you forgot bleach to clean up all the blood?
Yeah.
And then... when you were on the way to your destination in Columbia to that hotel room to finish the job.
Why would you buy serial killer cleanup supplies on Hilton Head if you killed someone in Columbia? They have Walmarts in Columbia too.
No, I know, but you got to cover your tracks.
Okay. Your tracks are actually going to be pretty extensive if you're driving from Hilton Head to Columbia though. Just
So last time we spoke, we talked about the darkness.
No.
Oh, that was
the time before.
Oh, identity.
We keep forgetting that we're on Yopo 5,
no,
episode 5 today. No, but now you do too. It's like a disease. It's the coronavirus of podcasts.
Oh my gosh.
Topical.
Well, we did talk a lot about identity, and we talked about clothing.
Yeah.
We talked about being firstborn, being second born.
We actually,
middle
like,
child.
We literally asked the question, and then I think just sailed off into a completely different direction, which is, you know, the Yopo way.
Well, we're trying to work on that here at Yopo. But we did talk a lot about music.
Yeah.
And when we had our pre-production meeting, it took us a while to really scratch the surface on real influences like Rich and Grapefruit Woman.
Rich and Gretchen.
AKA your mother. And we also, it took us a while to talk about Joan Jett.
Mm-hmm.
It took us a while to, because this episode is about our love of music. And in parentheses, love.
Yeah.
Because it's Valentine's. Somebody said
Valentine's Day.
Somebody Aww. Said Valentine's Day at the library to me yesterday.
Was it a child or an adult? Oof.
Diabetes. See, when you turn into
I'm such a brat sometimes, though.
Diabetes.
Like, I truly am trying to be better about correcting people, but I just don't know if I could let that slide. I don't know if I could.
Sarah Joey's homeschooling for adults.
It's more like roasting.
Yeah,
just
it
kidding.
Is.
We are in the roasting room.
We are in the roasting room, yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't rub off on us and we're nice to both each other and other people.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always like to tell Jevin that I like my mornings like I like my coffee.
Roasted.
You said you slept extremely well. I'm just going to do a little thing.
That's
little
fine.
Departure here. You said you slept incredibly well. And I had one of them 33 milligram nights of my Berks Pharmacy CBD. And I didn't sleep that well. I felt like I was awake the whole time.
I feel like
rather than
making me feel sleepy, it gets me to the state where I need to be to feel sleepy. Does that make sense?
How many milligrams are you on, girl?
I just do the one dropper.
I only did one dropper last night.
Just because I'm not very well versed in it yet. I should probably actually go talk to the folks at Berks to find out more about how I should be feeling, how much I should take, if I should increase my dose and all of that stuff. So.
Well, when I was speaking to our dude over there, our connection, he said, you want to take the least amount as possible.
Okay.
But for me, I'm a two dropper like it's hot kind of guy. Dropper
That's
like
kind
it's
of
hot.
Like your life dropper in general. Like how many scones did you eat this morning?
Oh my God. Those were aged.
For the Yopoers in the audience, how many scones do you think are an appropriate amount to eat in the morning? My answer is one scone. One pastry of any type is sufficient for your morning intake.
Well, I ran 3 miles 2 days ago, so what's up now?
Okay. I mean, does that count?
Well,
is the shelf life of a run 2 days?
Oh, I mean, running is wonderful, wonderful.
Sure, but that's not really my question.
You know, the other day I ate 2 pints of cashew milk.
Ooh.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Still skinny. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm skinny.
But that's just your natural body type.
Talking about ectos again?
Yeah.
I was an ecto, and now I think I'm more of an endo.
No way.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I think you can... Well, anyway.
You guys don't want to hear about that.
Yeah, I was a super skinny. But anyone who's seen my knees can see the ecto knees. You've seen them? Yeah, I know. They're pretty bad. Super dry, too. Ashy. So, let's just jump right into this. What is the title of this episode?
For the Love of Music.
That's a good title. For the Love of Music... For the love of God.
Obviously, this means a lot to both of us because...
This is what...
Jevin is a professional musician.
I am.
And I am someone who...
You...
That's my main interest outside of...
Being a marketer.
Being in my professional life is probably music.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
What?
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Did you burp?
No, I was holding the microphone incorrectly.
Now you're holding it. She's kind of holding it like one would hold a clarinet. Or actually a recorder.
I'm like my friend was doing this really funny thing at Disney World last weekend where she was mimicking the player in the Star Wars cantina.
Oh.
It was amazing. I asked her to do it like a million times because I thought it was so funny.
Did you play recorder? Tell me.
I did not.
You were in the chorus.
No.
You were a singer. Well, you know what they say, the finest instrument is the human voice.
So I was always into singing. My mom and her sisters had a little singing group that they had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they were growing up. So they would just perform around there.
Do you remember any of the songs they sang?
Small town. I don't. I'm sure my mom will let me know afterwards. She's going to be my fact checker now,
right. What
their favorite songs were. But
yeah.
My musical tastes... As far as what I like to sing and what I enjoy listening to, definitely diverge a lot from my parents' tastes, I would say.
As do mine.
But the love of music in general is something that was certainly passed down to me. Music is memories. That's what I realized. Music is memories. Because every time I pluck something from my head, we were talking about the Joan Jett thing just a moment ago.
Yeah.
What did I tell you the other day?
I should remember. You saw her.
I saw her, and I saw Cheap Trick, and I can close my eyes, and I can remember sitting in the Assembly Hall, which is now called State Farm Arena, in Champaign, Illinois, with a friend of mine. We went to see Joan Jett and Cheap Trick. I had gotten free tickets from someone whose email address was very similar to Joan Jett's manager's. And so over the years, a friend from high school's dad had received all these emails by mistake. And so they had kind of like struck up a friendship as a result of that. And so Joan Jett's manager offered Roger Elliott tickets to see her in Champaign. And he was like, you know what? I can't get over there. He knew I went to the University of Illinois. And he said, do you want to go?
Wow.
And this is a person who still will like my posts on Facebook, like wish me a happy birthday. I don't really talk to his daughter at all, but super nice man, super funny. I love.
Thank you, Roger Elliott, for being.
Thank you.
For being supportive of Sarah Joey's musical.
Yeah.
Life. See, I keep. You know what's funny to me is I keep thinking, when someone says Joan Jett, I think of the roller rink, and I think my girlfriend. I had a girlfriend who was really tall back then, named Christine. She used to wear glasses, and this is when I lived in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And so...
What's up with Pennsylvania and wanting to name their places after things in other states? Like, isn't there an Indiana University of Pennsylvania?
Oh, I don't know.
In Phoenixville?
Phoenixville. Well, isn't that... Doesn't all that stuff have a lot to do with settlers?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I don't think people from Arizona were... resettling in Pennsylvania, though, for the most part.
No. But Phoenixville could have meant, like, the ville of a fiery bird.
True. Sorry, I cut you off. Tell me more about Christine and your roller rink experiences.
Well, I couldn't roller skate back then. My brother Gavin could. Gavin was always like, you're a good roller skater.
Yeah.
I recently taught myself to roller skate in the last few years over at Star Castle in... Savannah.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of... I also taught myself to juggle recently.
Is that the one that closed out in Pooler?
Is it Star Castle?
Is that the one out in Pooler?
Or no?
Okay. That was the one I went to.
The one in Savannah. Dude, they don't mess around there. It's sweet.
I love really roller skating.
Yeah, it's really... Well, roller skating and the people who frequent the roller rink... And the volume and the crappiness of the speakers and the and the din, I think, of the lighting and the smells and the sweat and the popcorn and the sticky floor you sit on where somebody spilled a Coca-Cola. You know, I just remember that might have been the first time I ever heard really loud music outside of my house. Because my parents used to have bands and practice. Because we had just moved back from St. Thomas, where my mother became this rock and roll person.
That's cool.
So in 81, we moved back to Pennsylvania, which was short-lived. We only lived there for a year and a half. But the roller rink was like in Kimberton, Pennsylvania. There was a roller rink there. And, you know, it's the first time I heard, sometimes I feel like I got to chomp.
Get away.
Right, we were... Yeah.
Get away.
Yeah, I mean, MTV was happening, you know, like Billy Idol and.
I definitely like anything that allows you to both move to music that isn't dancing, because I'm a terrible dancer. So roller skating is definitely aligned with music. And so, like you said, like, that's a memory too. So my roller rink, it's not a roller rink memory necessarily. First of all, I always thought it was so cool when kids could have their birthday parties at the roller rink.
I know.
I never got to have mine there, but I was always like, yes, your birthday party's at Skate and Place? Sweet. I'm there.
Yeah, I don't I think that's up to the parents to, I don't think my parents ever had
Never had an out-of-house birthday party when
either.
I was a kid.
Yeah, me either. Thanks a lot, Dad.
That was like a luxury.
Thanks, Dad. Fine. Thanks, Dad. That would have cost about $30 back then. 15, probably.
So, something that we did in my elementary school was that our school would rent skates for like 2 weeks to a month. So they would rent skates in varying sizes. And that's what we would do in gym class, was we would roller skate around the gym. And it was so fun.
Why didn't you ever think about roller derby?
I have thought about it. I mean, that would be pretty on brand for me, I feel like. But I'm not an aggressive person, I don't think, like in that way. I'm not physically aggressive.
Yeah, your mouth is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like terrified of getting hurt. That's why I quit softball when I was in high school, because they started to pitch really fast, yeah. And I knew I would have to slide and like scrape up my legs.
Don't
and
they?
Stuff.
Isn't fast pitch 100 miles an hour? Or not 100?
No.
Probably 80s, 90s, still.
It's. I would say like 60s to 70s, but regardless, back to the roller rink stuff. My jam was Love Shack.
Yeah.
With my sixth grade boyfriend, Addison Hoover, if you're listening. He probably isn't because he isn't on social media, I don't think. No, he's on Instagram, maybe.
I also remember the first cassette I ever bought. I had a little yellow tape deck, a little Sony that I could like put on my shoulder. Like I thought I had a ghetto blaster, you know? and it was like a little yellow. I think it was a Sony. Remember when Sony had all those yellow waterproof?
Yeah.
And this was a cassette deck with a little handle on it you could bring to the pool or something. And I remember Kiss, Creatures of the Night.
Ooh.
Like because I saw the video, for a song called I Love It Loud, and the kids all become like rock and roll zombies with like these weird eyes.
That's cool.
It's still a cool video. Check it out. I Love It Loud by Kiss.
I Love It Loud by Kiss. Love it.
And my parents were really against, my mother actually threw away in 87, my mother, who was pretty wild, any of you guys out there who saw the Techniques or Holly Hilton and the Rockets back in the early 80s on Hilton Head will be surprised to know that my mother threw my Ozzy Osbourne No Rest for the Wicked tape away.
She was like, that is where I draw the line.
Yeah, I know. And this is my mom who loved Blondie, loved, apparently my father said she used to like stare people down at the gigs and, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like anyone else I know in the room right now who will be having a show here at the Roasting Room next Friday night.
That's right.
Valentine's Day.
I will be
2:14.
I will be staring into your soul that night if you're going to be here. Roastingroomlounge.com.
But your mom drew the line at Ozzy Osbourne. That's so funny.
She did. Yeah, my mother who sang in bars like Fat City in St. Thomas.
Fat City. What a name.
Yeah, and played in a band with a guy named Johnny Shit.
That's awesome. Again, that doesn't sound like anyone else I know in the
Thanks,
world.
Jordan's over there. Jordan Ross,
Don't worry, Jordan. We mentioned the show next Friday night.
We did. We did. It's here.
Twice.
And Jordan is the man behind the Roasting Room, which is
curtain.
Actually, Roasting Room Productions can go anywhere. Roasting Room Productions can do what they do anywhere, mobile style. Mobily? No.
Mm-mm.
No. Mobily.
On a mobile basis.
On a mobile, yeah. On a mobile stage? I don't know, it's a pun.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So the interesting thing about music that I grew up with, you know, so I was like, I wanted to listen to metal, heavy metal. And like when I heard Van Halen, that really messed everything up. But my parents were into totally different music.
Yeah.
And my father was the guy who put the bands together. So my father would like, he got this dude named Fred with this giant afro, you know, and Fred was like a real skinny, like good looking guy who played a black Stratocaster. And my mother was the singer, you know? And so they would do like a Rolling Stone, and they did Janis Joplin, and they did like, I don't know. Yeah, they did like, I remember my mother would always say, like, we're going to get you guys up to play. My brother and I played trombone and saxophone. So I was like, oh, we're going to get you guys up on stage. Yeah, you never did, Mom. Thanks. Never did.
You're better at that.
Getting people up on stage? Yeah. Do I?
Well, I mean, not at some, in some scenarios. So, like, for example, Nicest Guys in the World plays at Captain Woody's most Thursday nights.
Yeah.
You ask people to come up and sing a song sometimes.
We do?
Yeah, I mean, you used to do it with Savannah.
Oh, well, that's the only person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess I assumed it was more than just her, but...
Well, there is a woman who comes out and sings Only the Good Die Young with Gary. Aww. And I'll just give her my microphone, and they sing it in unison, and it's hilarious. And she's actually not bad.
Yeah.
I forget her name. She's got a name that kind of sounds like two names, but... But yeah,
most people have two names, but
I mean, her first name is like a mishmash of two.
Oh, okay,
names.
Gotcha. Marianne, something like that.
Yeah, something like
Luann.
That.
Luann.
Yeah, Professor.
Leanne.
Yeah. But my parents didn't really come from the same. My father liked the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers and more bands that were musically more. And like my dad liked Weather Report and Miles Davis, and then my mother liked Heart, Blondie, Stones, Sting, the Police, you know, Mr. Yoga Man.
Tantric.
Right.
Tantric yoga.
Right. So
the yoga between two consenting bodies.
I hope everyone's excited about Yopo Yoga coming soon to a town near you.
Yeah.
It's going to be great with goats and goat cheese.
Gopo.
Yeah. Maybe filmed on a GoPro.
We're gonna capitalize on every trend possible for our Yopo Yoga.
We're gonna rebrand.
Let us know. You'll get a poke bowl at the end. You'll get a poke bowl and what else? A turmeric shot.
Oh yeah. Laird Hamilton's gonna be there signing autographs.
There you go. Yep, we're gonna have Laird coffee. Are we just? Is it sponsored by Al's Aloha? Is that where we're going?
Well,
because
right now our only sponsor is Burke's Pharmacy, which gives you.
You just got really serious about that.
Yeah, well, that's because the buck stops here. When we started Yopo,
the buck. Is that a pun too?
On
money.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah, when we first started Yopo, it seems like just yesterday.
Yeah.
We put on those headphones.
It's been about 2 months, exactly.
Yeah.
I think we recorded our first one on December 9th, I want to
say. Oh, yeah, maybe.
And it's February 7th now.
But remember, everything we mentioned was a sponsor, but now we've whittled it down. Burke's Pharmacy. What's up?
If you have any interest in supporting Yopo, let us know.
Yeah. But if you want to get a good night's sleep and you want to, you don't get high from CBD...
Well, I think one of the best things, obviously, is that it's natural. But one thing that's really important to me and to us is hyping things that are local or regional. And so the fact that it's
sourced.
Grown,
yep.
Hemp is grown in South Carolina and processed in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
And so...
This is grown with that good, good Buford dirt.
Yeah.
And then you get all those low country nutrients. Think all that egret poop that's in there and alligator turds.
They have a really intense vetting process at Burke's as well. So it's not just fly by night processors who don't know what they're doing or talking about. This is the real deal stuff. So if you have any questions though, more specifically about CBD products, definitely check out Burke's Pharmacy on Hilton Head. It's on Main Street.
And there's actually, and if you go in there and mention Yopo, supposedly you get a discount. So we're still working on that. That's in the infancy stages.
Sure.
Infancy.
In its infancy.
Thank you. Yeah. I was going to say infantile. That's more me. That's more talking to me. But
Baby Brat Caveman. We haven't used that one in a while.
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Yet. I feel like I experience it every day.
Yeah. Wow. Welcome to being affiliated with me.
Javon.
Javon. Hey, Javon. Hey, Javon. Javon, where's your hat?
That's one thing, too. Like, when people ask me about you, I try to be very gentle, but usually they call themselves out on it because they admit that they don't know how to say your name. But I just think it's, what's your sister's name?
Kelsey.
Yeah, so your sister and younger
yeah,
brother.
I have a younger brother named Kieran Daly. And then, so it's Jeb and Gavin, Kelsey and Kieran. And then there's, I have a cousin named Kiefer. And then, yeah. Wasn't that like a milk thing?
Yeah. Also Sutherland.
Oh, right. Kiefer. Right. You're right, right, right. Which leads us right into favorite soundtracks.
Yes. Lost Boys is a good soundtrack.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is that what you were thinking about?
Yeah, I was.
I love the Lost Boys. But more is a movie than a soundtrack.
I think...
What are your faves?
Well...
I think that when we talk about this, I'm going to go back to one point that you just made a little bit ago, is you said, what's the first cassette that you bought? But by the time I kind of, like, began to earn my own money, cassettes were already out of favor. And so what would be a more salient question for me is, what was the first CD you bought?
Right,
exactly.
Right. See, for me, it was... the cassette deck and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about 81.
I'm about to lay myself bare for you, Yopoers. The first CD I bought ever was the Titanic soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's so that song is
I see you, I feel you. I don't even know if those are the words, but
I don't know, it sounded good to me. Convincing.
But yeah.
My experience with soundtracks goes back to the Fat Boys, BC Boys, which I think was Beat Street.
Okay. Which is like not a very well-known movie.
It's
is
not.
That a movie? I don't even know.
Right, it is. Beat Street, the king of the beat. Come rocking that beat from across the street. Ha, ha, ha. Beat Street got a lesson or two. You know, you can't let the streets beat you. Hurrah.
Which is like, that's interesting because it probably has a really kick-ass soundtrack, but
it does.
Nobody knows that movie.
No, they don't. The movie I don't think was very good, but I think the movie was about... Ramon maybe was a graffiti artist.
Okay.
And he was,
sounds,
and graffiti back then was not an art form like it is today, where, you know, you go to Beat Street, go down to Street Meet on Hilton Head. And if you go into Street Meet, it's all graffiti in there, you know? And I wonder if Street Meet has anything to do with Beat Street.
Maybe. You should ask.
Because I was just in there.
Who's the owner, Carrie?
Yeah. And I just went in there and ate an elk burger the other day. It was really
good. I love Street Meet. So good.
Yeah. You mean you like Beat Street?
Yeah, and Beat Street. Obviously, because I've seen it.
You know...
because lots of people have.
Skipping around a little bit, I thought another kind of... to kind of jam on the word beat. I thought another really cool musical moment for me in life was when Eddie Van Halen played on the song Beat It.
Okay, yeah. Because those crossovers are super important. I mean... we can talk about, what did I call him the other day? Richie Van Halen. Yeah, I know
right.
That's sacrilege,
yeah,
but
that was pretty bad. I know.
Guys, I can be kind of bad at stuff like that sometimes.
Well, but we also talked a little bit about cock rock and guitars being something that has been dominated by the male species. You know, a lot of, like, okay, who knows... who knows who Jennifer Batten is? Who knows who Mary Halverson is? You know, not a lot of people. Heart was,
ooh,
when they did Barracuda, you know, I mean, that was like, whoa, these chicks are like, and that song is about an unusual topic.
What is it about?
The record executive thought that the sisters were together.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, they wanted to market it that way. And that's why that song says Barracuda, because the guy was trying to be a Barracuda with... he was trying to take something and create, you know, and they... sex sells.
I guess, but...
or, like Dave Mustaine said, P Peace sells, but who's buying?
Ooh.
Peace sells, but who's buying?
What, did but that's you? An interesting. That's an interesting thing, though, because one of my favorite Willie Nelson songs is "Sad Songs and Waltzes," which I didn't even. I listened to the Cake cover of it, and I was like, "Man, I really love this song."
Right,
and it's a Willie. And then Nelson I looked song. It up, and I was like, "Oh, it's a Willie Nelson song." Which, but I like it because I like the lyrics in it, which reminded me of what you were just talking about. Because the lyrics are about how he's heartbroken. He just broke up with his love, whether wife, girlfriend, lover, whatever.
Lover.
Yeah, and so. He talks about how she doesn't have to worry because Sad Songs and Waltzes aren't in this year. And so he's not going to sell any records and he's not famous. It's Whoa. An extremely self-deprecating song overall. Check it out if you haven't heard it.
Hmm.
Hopefully I'll be checking it out next Tuesday. He probably won't play that.
Oh, but. Yeah. No, yeah. His show is pretty. I mean, when you go, you know, when I saw him 2 years ago, aside from the whiskey for my men and beer for my horses, which I almost vomited during that song.
But how do you do that without Toby Keith? Is it just one of his singers that sings with him?
No, he did it.
It's just interesting to me because that song is not really hit on brand
for not.
Him.
It's not. And but
we'll
I think
leave it at that without going into too many details of why I think that. But
No, I agree. That's what I mean. It was kind of a blemish on the show.
Yeah.
For me and a lot of people that I know that went to that show weren't really too happy with Willie's performance. But to me, I thought it was the best version of Willie I've ever heard. And the band is just amazing. I mean, the band is just amazing.
Fleek. His sister, Bobby, has been playing with him for what, like 50 years at this point?
Willie Nelson and the family. And his sons, sometimes both of his sons are there. I thought this was really cool, though, because I hate to say this, but his sons weren't there, and I like just hearing Willie on the guitar. There was no other guitar player. I just say let Trigger ride alone. Trigger needs a ride alone, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's Willie's guitar.
Okay.
Trigger, the Martin.
I like when he calls himself the redheaded stranger.
I know.
I think it's so cute.
From Blue Rock, Montana. The redheaded stranger.
Blue he has Rock, a lot Montana. Of, I mean... That's a guy, too, who really crafted some good concept albums before that was a really popular trend. Like, now it's all, like, indie people, their concept albums left and right. But back then, especially in country.
Redheaded Stranger might be. That's a tight.
But that's an interesting thought, too, because concept albums really do lend themselves to being more in country music because it's a very narrative genre of music? No? Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yapo.
And two, there are people who are writing from perspectives that aren't necessarily their own, but you can still put yourself in their shoes. Like Loretta Lynn, how many songs did she write about getting divorced or like not killing her husband, but just how terrible he was, but it's really about the subject of her song. It's not about her life necessarily, or maybe it is. Maybe it's a little both. Don't have a lot to say about that, huh?
No, I mean, you know, I didn't grow up with country music, so
neither did I.
Yeah, so when I started hearing the Grateful Dead doing Marty Robbins songs like Me and My Uncle and El Paso.
Yeah.
And then I heard them do You Win Again, you know, the Hank Williams tune. And then my father did listen to like the Flying Burrito Brothers and New Riders, the Purple Sage.
Yeah.
But again, that's not really, when people think of country, I think they think about Hey Good Looking and Jambalaya and all that. And then there's this new country with like guys with huge biceps and mohawks with tattoos that are, you know, driving IROCs. Is that country? I don't know. I mean, do you think that's country out there, people?
It's tough to say. Well, my thing about country and something you just touched on, too, is that there's always tons of sharing going on. That's something that you'll find is you'll look up a song, a country song, and you're like, oh, this was actually written by so-and-so. Like, Willie Nelson does a version of If You've Got the Money, I've Got the Time by Lefty Frizzell.
Right.
And what's interesting is that you can cover a song like that again and again and again and again and make it your own again and again. Same with Hank Williams songs. I mean, I don't know what it is about that particular genre, but country is all about sharing. It's all about traditions and sharing from the past and creating something new and then going back to something old and creating something new again. That's why it's kind of funny when people say they don't like new country, because it's something that that particular industry has gone through so many times already. But we're stuck in the present day. And so we only have that perspective to play on.
I mean, you know, I mean, until recently, I hadn't really heard Blake Shelton, for example.
Okay.
And then I heard the song about the dog. What's it called? Old Red or something. You know, or like, I didn't know much about Reba McEntire, for example.
Yeah,
you know,
and then Reba.
And then when I listened to that kind of stuff, and I also, Tim McGraw, or you know, when people said, oh, Angie Aparo wrote the song for Faith Hill, you know, you go back and listen to this stuff because you feel like, I mean, I'm not quite the musicologist that Prince may have been.
Yeah.
but I do consider myself someone who can talk about music. But in country music, there's so many people out there, like Conway Twitty. I don't know a lot about him, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I
don't really either, except in reference to all of his amazing duets with Loretta Lynn.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and, you know, I think that we all just kind of gravitate. Like, I gravitated towards Buck Owens. I didn't mm-hmm. really. Merle Haggard took a while, even though the Grateful Dead covered Okie from Muskogee.
But that's why it's cool in that they've shared that with people who would not traditionally be known as a country band.
Exactly.
By any means.
Yeah, exactly.
Country influences, certainly, but.
Yeah, right. I mean, because I always tell, I think you and I have sort of had a sword fight over, I always tell Sarah that Grateful Dead is the greatest country band, and then you kind of laugh and
I roll my eyes, which is what I just did.
Right. But you know, they do a good job on country, and you know, I mean, songs like High Time, Black Peter, Candyman, all these songs are country songs, but they're not twangy, I don't think, really.
Country is just it's a good love genre, though. Heart and heartbreak.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't think of another genre who writes a love song or a heartbreak song better than country. Not even heartbreak, but just like, again, back to the Loretta Lynns of the world who are basically giving the men in their lives the finger in whatever way, whether it's a Carrie Underwood keying somebody's car or...
Yeah. That's a big part of country is women being empowered to like Willie Nelson's wife stitched him up in that sheet and left him in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
when he was drunk
and beat
or whatever,
the crap out of him
with soap or something in a sock or something maybe. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he. I'm sure that was when Willie used to drink. Now he doesn't drink anymore.
No,
he does other stuff.
I don't think he even does that anymore either.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he quit smoking pot.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Mike Tyson smoked all the pot.
Because he is 86, so. No, I think it became.
Really?
Yeah, but.
Sure?
Well, I read on his Wikipedia, though, that he, I think he uses a vaporizer, though, because it's less.
Oh, right. It's less harsh, yeah. Well, supposedly. I was watching him and his two sons talk about when they were golf, because I think that he lives in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And
he probably has several homes.
Right.
Let's face it.
Yeah, really. Yeah, right. He probably owns
because
plants.
Writing songs
that's
in country
is
very lucrative, especially now. Especially when you've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah. Longer than
more,
that.
More, 60,
right?
I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, when did he write Crazy?
When did Patsy Cline have a hit with Crazy? Let's get Zach, Steve. Zach, can you do a fact check?
Well, right. It's hard, though. Like, songwriting isn't as lucrative as performing, though.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'll put it this way. Like, If you're a songwriter and a performer, it makes more sense to do both than to just do one.
But all the money that continues to come out of Sweet Home Alabama, and, you know, Stairway to Heaven, and, you know, Together Forever by Rick Astley, for example.
Well, you just mentioned a musician who spends a lot of time in this area, and that, I think can be definitely lucrative for songwriters if you write a song for someone else who is going to make it extremely popular.
Right.
Because they have the right production team and all of that behind them.
Yeah.
PR.
Right. Yeah, I think on a side note, I think a lot
We live on the side note, Jevin.
I do.
I said we do.
We do, yeah. I think on a side note, I just want to say to everybody out there who is always so worried about, I don't know if this song is good enough to release it, or, you know, like local, this is to all the local musicians I've loved before. Don't worry about it. Your song's not going to get famous. Just put it out, because if we can't hear it, then it's not going to get famous, but it probably won't anyway, but let's hear it. Just put it out.
It's like a kid who works pretty hard to become a professional athlete, but I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but I just listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, the episode where Charles Barkley was his guest.
Oh.
And he basically, first of all, he's hilarious. Secondly,
yeah, he is
funny. Secondly, he was talking basically about how kids will come up to him all the time. They're like, Mr. Barkley, I'm going to be an NBA player. And he's like, no, you're probably not. Because what's really important to him, and he doesn't say that to be negative, he says it because you need to be a well-rounded person in order to be successful in this world to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
Because pinning all your hopes and dreams on something that has an extremely low chance of happening is probably not
great. What are the chances you're going to be the next Scottie Pippen or the next LeBron?
No, I mean, do you want to know the chances? He basically was like, okay, so we'll say maybe 100 people come into the NBA each year. 100.
Yeah.
That's out of millions.
8 billion. A lot of overseas players are making up these teams now. Like the Dirk Nowitzkis of the future, of the now.
Sure. So, but that was kind of interesting, because his whole point is that education is what's important to people. Whether that's going to a four-year university, or, you know, learning a skilled trade or whatever it might be, on-the-job training, just making something your expertise, that is probably more realistic.
I mean, hey, stop it. Who's doing that?
But that's probably the same for local <world. laughs> musicians, too, you know? I mean, you just do the damn thing. That's what you do. You talk about that all the time, how you just do it.
Well, I think I do. I do. It makes me happy when I see someone putting something out there, you know, like whether it's Zach Stiltner singing on Instagram, whether it's Fred and Todd putting out a video.
52 Weeks of Fire.
Right.
We should be expecting a new one today, or today being the Friday before Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. John Sheehan has a song coming out on Valentine's Day. We're all waiting on Campfire Tyler's album, produced by Kyle Wareham. We're all waiting on all y'all stuff. And where is it? And quit thinking it needs to be that good, because you'll never get it out. Anyway, that's enough. You know, I did want to talk briefly. I know we're kind of running out of time, but you know, there's so many people out there in the world of music that say, "Oh, jazz is the greatest contribution to music from America," or the blues. Oh God, we can't forget the blues. You know, and I love the blues. And I love jazz. But come on, man. A dude's scraping through the garbage and getting speakers and a turntable, you're telling me that's not way cooler than some dude playing Someday My Prince Will Come on a saxophone? Sorry.
But it's all great. Why do we need to pick the best one?
Yeah, I don't think hip-hop gets enough. I know it does.
Oh, yeah.
I know
it
does.
As an art form, definitely not enough credit.
It doesn't really... The whole, like... The Rick Rubin, the producer for Slayer and LL Cool J, and
Rick Rubin, the producer for Johnny Cash.
You
name it, he can do whatever genre you want.
Right.
Avett Brothers, I don't know if he produced their most recent album, but he's produced an album for them too.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll produce the new Chili Peppers now that Frusciante's back in the band for the third time.
Who knows?
Heyo, Frusciante. Looking forward to it. But I think my point is, yeah, hey, John. I think it's really neat, though. I do think it's cool that Charlie Parker played a plastic saxophone and blew people's minds. But I really think it's cool that people, like, sample. I think sampling is really cool. You know.
Oh, yeah. I love sampling.
You know, when I heard the Beastie Boys' License to Ill, I mean, that was crazy.
Well, I can't remember the Wu-Tang song that samples it, but they sample part of the soundtrack for Suspiria, which is my favorite horror movie of all time. Not the remake. Haven't seen it. Don't care to. But that's an amazing...
Eye roll.
That's an amazing soundtrack as well. Not really even a soundtrack, but what is their name? Goblins? Goblins, I think. Is the name of the band that made that soundtrack, but Wu-Tang covers it or samples it in one of their songs. But, oh man, just love sampling for sure. But I think coming out of something with a lack of resources, which is like a story that you hear so frequently in hip hop, and being able to create something like that that's so important to so many people, that's a cool story right there.
It is a cool story. I mean, we were in, my brother used to live in the South Bronx, and Low Country Boil was on tour in 99. And on tour, when I say on tour, I mean we went out on the road for like 9 days and lost like $600 or whatever. But we were skateboarding. we were skateboarding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. But we were skateboarding in this hilly South Bronx area, which is a lot of hills, and the streets are just like so slick from oil, and there's gum everywhere.
Yeah.
And this, we were at the Subway series was going on, and we pulled up to a sandwich shop on the corner, and this guy rides up on a bike, gaunt, really, really, really emaciated. And I looked at the bike he was riding, and it was an exercise bike that he had made a bicycle. And Gavin traded this dude, like, aww, gave him $10 or something. The dude was from Mexico or something. And but then Gavin, I mean, that should have been like a museum or like an earth.
Out of nothing comes something. Then.
Right. Yeah.
People with no resources will figure out a way to make it happen.
Right.
If they are innovators, I guess. Like, well, that guy would call an innovator,
I know,
for sure.
Oh yeah. It had a little, he put a brake on it, you know, and put wheels on it. And it kind of reminds me of when Charles Bukowski says, like, he gets a lot of people. I love Charles Bukowski, the writer. And a lot of people don't. And, you know, Charles Bukowski's famous for kind of saying, people always come up and say, how do I become a great writer? And he goes, look, if it's not burning inside of you, if you don't feel like, just do something else.
Right.
Because he says to this fan or whatever, I can't get through the day unless I type 10 pages. And, you know, the next morning I throw 9 of them away or whatever. But I think it's really interesting that someone rummaged through the garbage and wired up a turntable. And then could you imagine the first person, like, who ever scratched on a record?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, a light year has passed and you have Going Back to Cali with like the loudest scratching produced by Rick Rubin, you know?
But that's
Questlove, you know, you got guys like that. I mean,
but That's kind of interesting, though, to think about the jazz, hip-hop, blues combination, because what is hip-hop if not jazz with your voice?
No, I know. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Well, they sampled all those blue notes.
If you don't have instruments.
Yep. Yep. And without John Bonham playing the drums, I mean, how many times has Led Zeppelin been sampled with hip-hop?
So many times.
Yeah, and if he only knew.
But that's, yeah, the rock hip-hop connection, or let's talk about Lil Nas X, man. Let's not go any further than 2019 itself.
Yeah.
Lil Nas X.
Nine Inch Nails sample on that song.
And with Billy Ray Cyrus, but he's a black cowboy. I mean, Charlie Pride would be so excited. He probably wouldn't be that excited because of other various things, but...
Yeah, right, but...
But credit where credit's due. Let's cross it all over is what I say.
Well, the coolest thing about that song I remember, you know, was... By the way, I don't think that song is going anywhere anytime soon. I think Thriller and Old Town Road are going to be around for hundreds of years.
My little nieces know the words to that song.
Little Niece X.
Little Niece X.
I think that story was so cool when Billboard said, or the country music people said, this isn't country. And then all these other people like Keith Urban.
Yeah.
You know, like Keith Urban.
How dare you?
Unbuttoning his shirt in the morning and said, I'm jumping on this bandwagon. I like this dude, Lil Nas X.
Right.
You know? And I don't think it's a particularly easy song to sing either.
No.
You know, the horses in the back and running in a tractor. And you see him up there with Billy Ray Cyrus, who really championed. He got out there and said, "I'm gonna do this thing with you," you know.
But imagine you're a kid that grew up in Denmark, South Carolina. Let's use that as a town.
You mean not Denmark, Pennsylvania?
Imagine you're a kid who grew up in Denmark, South Carolina. What kind of musical artist is going to mean the most to you? You might like hip hop, you might not, but ultimately, you're a country kid at heart if you grew up in these small towns in the middle of South Carolina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's cool to be able to bridge that divide for people who might not say, oh, I don't really get like the urban vibe of hip hop. Not that it's just that anymore, but it's cool that there's something for kids who like riding Polaris four-wheelers and also like listening to hip-hop
and also like wearing yellow chaps,
sure,
and a matching yellow vest with no shirt on it and a yellow cowboy hat.
Yeah,
there's a lot there.
So much there. That, I love it.
That kid, yeah, that kid, I like everything about it. I'm sure, I know that people have talked about it till everybody's, you know, everyone's blue in the face. And I also think it's cool. There's just a lot. I think it's a threatening. I think it's a threatening.
Oh yeah.
Image.
Well, on so many levels. Yeah. He's the definition of flamboyant, but not. He is queer, but not in that sense necessarily. Like you're saying, he's wearing his yellow suit. He wore the whole pink outfit to the Grammys this year. Mm-hmm. Like everything about him is flamboyant in the sense that he's just, again, doing the damn thing.
He's a rock star. I mean, that's what... You want your rock star to show up, like, get out of a boring car. Whoopsie, sorry, that was really loud. Boring car, boring clothes, boring songs. Or you want this dude to come... Is that where he was from?
No,
Denmark, South Carolina?
No. You totally misunderstood.
No, I understand your point.
Okay.
That there's a kid out there who can't... This is a big story. You know, a typical story, like a kid who maybe doesn't fit in at school is maybe out in the middle of nowhere and then hears a song like that and says, this is my shit.
Yeah.
This is my thing. And I totally get, I just didn't know. I thought he was from
somewhere. No, I think he's from Atlanta. I want to say he's
really?
From Atlanta.
Zach yeah. Stevens, can you fact check that for us? Thank you. Waiting. Oh, Zach's asleep. do we want to... We might need a part two. You did say we might do a part two.
I think realistically we can come back to this topic at any time. We just don't need to rehash what we've already discussed. But I think it's clear we both love music. That's we haven't even talked about performing it, really, for the most part.
Right. Yeah, performing it can be. You gotta have. I told someone the other day, you gotta have really thick skin, but you gotta have really thin skin too. You have to. You have to be able to brush things
that
off.
That someone was me.
Was it you? I think it was you.
I mean, you told me that.
I did.
You probably told it to someone else too.
Maybe. But you know, those. There's something about a lot of the musicians I know that act. I act like a child a lot. I act like a baby a lot. But I also have the ability to forget something when someone said something like years ago, like you shouldn't sing, or you're not that good at guitar, or you know you're fourth chair here. Or
ouch.
Whatever. Yeah, but I see those people now. I see kids that I was in band class with, and they're like, man, you stuck with it. You know, you stuck
and
with it.
And they did not.
They didn't, right? And I think some of those I mean, one of the only guys I know that did stick with it, Daryl Bird, is a professor. He was a professor at USC. He ran the marching band program up there, and now he's at a smaller school, I think. But he was an exceptional. I remember back when I was in middle school playing with the high school band, and Daryl Bird, this guy was just a star back then, you know. But a lot of these guys, like even like my brother, who's getting back into music now with his band Skinny Bike. I just feel like you have to, it's just like a job. You've got to, if you're a cook and you only cook once a week, you're not good. You're not a good cook. But if you're doing it every night and you're burned out and you've been working for 20 years at it, you know, there's no way for a lot of the times it's tough for you to see how good you've gotten at it. A lot of the times it's good for you to give yourself a pat on the back about how far you've come with it. And I think that's the hardest thing about playing music is everybody thinks like, oh, you must have, you love what you do. I love what I do. Yeah. But also it hurts.
Yeah. I mean, I try to sing once a day if I can, even if it's just along to a song on the radio, but it's actually taking the time to practice and really get into it again. It is very hard.
Yeah. It's a commitment. I mean, it's,
for
sure. It's a commitment. And I don't know what I'd be doing right now if my father and mother didn't move to Hilton Head, because this is one of the only places where you can just, I never thought I'd be playing music this much to where it like hurts physically to do it, you know, and there's a lot of opportunity here. And I think that if you can squeeze out a song every once in a while, I don't think everyone should write songs. I think sometimes you should go get help. I think it's always good to have a fresh pair of ears on your music.
Look at Elton John.
Yeah, I know. Bernie Taupin, right?
Right, yeah. Writes songs, writes the
music.
The music.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was
for
a long distance.
50 years.
Yeah, that was a long distance where Bernie would just, they wouldn't sit in a room. I think people think, oh, I'm going to sit in a room with someone and write a song. I mean, that's pretty intimidating, uncomfortable. I mean, how many times. How much chemistry have you had in your life with someone in a room? You know what I mean? Really?
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Without being funny, without being weird. It really is. People think, like a lot of people, hey, man, we should write a song together, you know? And, wow, I don't know. That's pretty personal.
Very.
And then I think the hardest thing to do when you're writing a song, or say you're going to paint a mural together, like, well, the one person has to really think they trust the other person.
Yeah.
It's all about trust.
True. It very much is.
And if you...
We could do a whole other hour on this topic.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think that's a hard thing. But don't forget, guys, Burke's Pharmacy on Hilton Head.
Check it out. If you have questions about CBD, definitely contact them to learn more about the processing of it, where their hemp is grown.
Blue Sky outside of Beaufort.
There you go.
Yep. And our endocannabinoid system that's been in place for thousands of years because of the early humans' consumption of hemp. This is Yopo 5.
Thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time. And if you don't have plans on Valentine's Day, check Jevin out at the Roasting Room. Bring your mask.
Yo po. Do 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 yo po. Do 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 yo po. Do do do.